one of the major initiatives that I have is really stepping back and doing a lot of analytical work about how agencies are spending their funds on professional services, where those requirements are, where the gaps are in services that we're providing today, and really will be a collaborative initiative with our customers. And initially, we are focusing on the top 10, the agencies that have the top 10 spend in professional services government-wide, plus the VA. I always like to add them in the mix. They have a very important mission that we're focused on as well. And we're going to do some deep dives into how those agencies are spending, what contract vehicles that GSA has available to them, and where we've got gaps in those services.
Okay, and for professional services, excuse me, you have the MOBIS and PES and LogWorld and environmental on mm-hmm. those schedules, mm-hmm. But you also have OASIS. Is that that's part of your portfolio as well?
Yeah, absolutely. Part of what I need to get my arms around over the next year is really organizationally how we're going to manage these programs. Right now, there are four different parts of FAST that manage those programs, so there is no one executive that is responsible for saying, you know, are these the right contracts for our federal agency customers? Are they really meeting those needs? Are we really leveraging those in a smart way? So I'll be working to get all of those organized and into one group. And so really,
and are they located in different places too?
They are. Yeah. They are.
That's going to be a challenge too, isn't it?
It is. It is. We're moving some work, out to my team out in Auburn. But some of those programs will continue to be managed out of Fort Worth, which is OASIS. And actually, they're also managed out of Washington, D.C. We've got two teams that actually support that initiative. And then also for our FAB schedule, they're managed out of a team here in Washington, D.C.
Yeah, so that's a lot of moving parts.
It's a lot of moving parts. It's going to be a busy 2 years. So we've really got the kind of larger framework for what does professional services spend look like in government. We've got some major policy initiatives. I'm calling them policy initiatives. I'm not sure if OFPP is in a position yet to call them a policy initiative. But we're really going to be looking at collecting prices paid data and whether having a standardized labor categories in our contracts is something that we need to be looking at. Really, prices paid and standardized labor categories are really key parts of it's something that I'm going to be working on with another team, the Common Acquisition Platform team at FAST, is developing really what's going to be a virtual hallway where acquisition professionals can go into a portal and really get all of the information that they need about professional services contracting. So in the long run, the vision really is to have a place where buyers and or program managers or COTRs can go into this virtual space and see the best practices in professional services contracting, depending on the type of professional services that they're acquiring. How would they price that? And prices paid really comes into play there when they're developing estimates. And how do they scope those projects? So we hope to have examples of statements of work and what kind of labor categories support those types of work efforts. And so really this information is required for us to build this virtual hallway. And we've had a lot of interest from federal agencies in getting more information about what we're paying for services. And we've really been staring at the challenge, you know, for the last 6 or 8 months. And there's a couple of different ways that you could tackle this. In the services world, most of it is not purchased by the hour. Most of services are really purchased in a fixed price environment. Some is cost reimbursement, but most is fixed price. And so if you're collecting prices paid data and it's at the task level, and here's a job and it costs, you know, this much a month to do that job, or it's a deliverable, without having the statement of work partnered with that, it doesn't really provide you very useful information. You know, it's a price on a piece of paper. And so we quickly ended up moving towards, okay, well, for those tasks and contracts that are being awarded in a T&M or labor hour environment, how would you start to collect that information? And maybe getting prices paid information at the labor category level would be more useful for program and contracting professionals.
That's on time, material, labor, hour orders, right?
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. Okay. Orders or contracts, I mean, depending on where this goes in the long run. Today, you're absolutely right. We're focused on getting that at the order level. But we have some of that information already for schedules, contracts in the professional services area. For the center that I manage out in Seattle, six of the professional services schedules, they're mostly the largest that we've got. We've been collecting ceiling price information for labor categories for the last 5 or 6 years. We have a full database that lists over 36,000 labor categories, and what we've negotiated those rates for every single one of the contracts that we've got. And even providing that kind of information, I think to federal buyers would provide some insight into, okay, what is an engineer cost on average? And they could be using that information to bake it into, you know, their IGCEs, scoping out their work, you know, that kind of thing. So we're really wrestling with what's the first thing we should tackle, what's the kind of information that federal buyers are really going to want initially. And so we're going to go out and ask our customers what they want. We're working to schedule our first customer roundtable within the next month, month and a half, and really with those top 10 agencies plus VA to come in and tell us about what kind of prices paid information are they really looking for. Would having the type of pricing information that we have today for some of our professional services schedules be a benefit to them? I know it is for our buyers, but, you know, we're busy negotiating ceiling rates on schedule contracts. So we'll get that feedback from them. And there's been a lot of talk internally around to be able to collect prices paid data for services at the labor category level. Do we really need to standardize what those labor categories are to get information that's useful to buyers? Today we've got a tool that's in place that really has an algorithm built in, so we don't need to have standardized labor categories. We actually are using IT to help us really provide that kind of information to us. But is standardized labor categories something that our customers really want to see? And would they consider that a best practice and something that we'd want to work on as a community together?
Okay. A couple of questions.
Sure.
First, you know, with regard to the prices paid data, one would be, you know, price alone. One of the concerns that you hear out there is that price alone is not necessarily complete data. And if people are going to use it to make, you know, acquisition business decisions, is that a part of the conversation with your customer agencies? Are you going to be asking them, like, you know, what other terms and conditions you would like to see so the price becomes more relevant or more real to you as to what drives it? Is that what you're looking at doing?
Oh, absolutely. And I think the challenge, especially in the services world, is without the terms and conditions and really understanding what the performance objectives are for a given requirement, you have to have that context to really be able to help buyers be as well informed as they can be. I know that OFPP still hosts a frontline forum where it's frontline contracting officers that come in and talk about these types of issues about once a quarter. And we, the GSA team was over and was talking to them about category management, about these virtual hallways. And the first thing they said was, we need to see the terms and conditions, to really be able to use that information in a meaningful way, for a given requirement. Depending on the complexity of something, you know, price may be the driver, but at what level? Is it at the labor category level? Or is it really, you know, at the job level, which is what we've been trying to get us to? I mean, you know, doing time and materials contracts is not our first choice, as we know, preferred contract type.
Right.
So it's a big challenge.
Yeah.
And I think it's going to take a lot of work for us as a community, not just on the federal side, but also bringing industry to the table to really start noodling through how to provide this information in a meaningful way and in a way that is not so overly burdensome and costly that, you know, it just the requirement is going to outweigh our ability to actually provide the information.